Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Bestower of Mercy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bestow His protection, mercy, and blessings upon you. Our dear brothers and sisters who have come for Hajj, on behalf of the General Presidency for Affairs of Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the Grand Mosque in Mecca, and Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, the Prophet's Mosque in Al-Madinah, we welcome you to this sacred site of Arafah. On this auspicious day, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, 1440 Hijri, the day of Arafah, corresponding to the 10th of August, 2019. We are happy to have you join us today for the live English translation of the Arafah sermon. The Arafah sermon will be delivered in Arabic by Al-Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Sheikh, member of the Council of Senior Scholars and head of the custodian of the Two Holy Mosques Complex for Hadith. The live English translation of the sermon will be broadcast here within Arafah on this station, 88.3 FM. It will also be broadcast on the Arafah Sermon app to the entire world. The custodian of the Two Holy Mosques, King Salman ibn Abdul Aziz, warmly welcomes all who have arrived in Allah's sacred land of Mecca to perform Hajj. The translation of today's Arafah sermon is being presented as part of the Custodian of the Two Holy Mosques project for live sermon translation. We hope that Allah allows this to be an enlightening message to all of our audience that has tuned in from around the world, and to be a beneficial part of Hajj for all who are present with us here in Arafah today. The sermon, along with its live translation, will begin shortly, so please stay tuned. All praise is due to Allah, the Most Merciful, the Bestower of Mercy, the Continually Pardoning, the Most Kind. He owns infinite mercy and He grants all-encompassing blessings. Have you not contemplated the fact that Allah placed everything throughout the heavens and everything throughout the earth at your service? And that He granted you immense blessings, both apparent and inconspicuous? I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. There is none who deserves worship besides Him. I further bear witness that Muhammad is Allah's worshipping servant and messenger. He conveyed his message completely and fulfilled all that was entrusted to him. May Allah grant his messenger an abundance of commendation and protection, and also do the same for the messenger's family and companions. Dear Muslims, you must observe taqwa of Allah, the Most Exalted, by fulfilling his commands and avoiding his prohibitions. Observing taqwa of Allah yields success in the hereafter as well as in this world. Allah the Most Exalted said, "The hereafter with your Lord is exclusively for the people of taqwa." Allah also said, "Indeed, the awliya of Allah will not have reason to feel any fear or sorrow. They are the people who had iman and continually observed taqwa. They will receive glad tidings in this world and in the hereafter. The words of Allah will not be altered. That is the supreme success." Part of taqwa is adhering to tawheed, sincerely devoting all worship to Allah alone. That is the most important directive Allah has given us, and it is the purpose for which He created humans and jinns. Allah the Most Exalted said, "I did not create jinns and humans except for them to worship Me alone." Could it ever be right to devote any form of worship to other than Allah, when by His mercy, He is the one who sends blessings down to us? He is the only one who brings creation into existence, and all of His servants will stand before Him when He takes them to account for what they had done in both public and private. Allah the Most Exalted said, "The mercy Allah grants people cannot be withheld by anyone, and whatever Allah withholds from people cannot be granted by anyone besides Him. He is the Almighty, the Most Wise." Allah further said, "Your Lord is the perfectly self-sufficient, the owner of infinite mercy." Allah also said, "Say, your Lord is the owner of immense mercy." My dear audience, all of you have been blessed with sound intellects. Contemplate the effects of Allah's mercy throughout His creation. Allah the Most Exalted said, He is the one who sends down the rain, granting relief to people after they lost hope, and He spreads His mercy. He is the guardian Lord, the most praiseworthy. In addition, Allah said, Thus, contemplate the effects of Allah's mercy, how He revives the earth after its death. Indeed, He is the one who will most certainly raise the dead, and He is able to do all things. Allah further said, Out of His mercy, He made for you the night and the day, so that you may find rest by night, so that you may seek His bounty by day, and so that you would be grateful to Him. Allah also said, Say to them, Who owns everything throughout the heavens and the earth? Tell them, All of it belongs to Allah alone. He has decreed mercy for Himself. There is an authentic hadith in which Allah's Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, When Allah completed the decree of His creation, He wrote in the record that is with Him above His throne, My mercy precedes my anger. Out of Allah's mercy, He made the religion of Islam complete. In an ayah of the Quran that was sent down in Arafah, this very same sanctified location, Allah the Most Majestic and Exalted said, Today I have perfected your religion for you. I have completed my favor to you, and I am pleased with Islam as a religion for you. This magnificent religion is built upon five pillars. The two testimonies, establishing obligatory prayers, giving obligatory charity, fasting Ramadan, and performing Hajj at the Kaaba. These five pillars are in fact causes of Allah's mercy descending to us. The first of the two testimonies is bearing witness that La ilaha illallah, which means that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Thus, we are to sincerely devote all of our worship to Him alone. The second testimony is bearing witness that Muhammadun Rasulullah, meaning that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. Thus, we are to obey the messenger, believe what the messenger informs us about, and only worship Allah according to what the messenger taught us. Allah, who is perfect in every way, instructed us to establish salah, five obligatory prayers over the course of each day and night. He also instructed us to give zakah, obligatory charity, which is a specified portion of our wealth. Allah the Most Exalted said, You must continue to establish obligatory prayers as prescribed, give the obligatory charity, and obey the messenger in order to attain Allah's mercy. Allah also instructed us to fast Ramadan and to perform Hajj at His sacred house. There is a hadith which mentions that when Ramadan arrives, the gates of mercy are opened wide. In addition, the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, supplicated thrice for those who shaved their heads in Hajj to be granted mercy. Out of Allah's mercy, He made Iman, maintaining sound beliefs and performing righteous deeds, a means to attaining His mercy and a path leading to salvation. Allah said, As for those who have Iman in Allah and adhere to His revelation, He will grant them mercy and bounty from Himself and guide them to a straight path which leads them to Jannah. In addition, Allah's Prophet of Mercy, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, Iman is for you to have correct beliefs about Allah, His angels, His scriptures, His messengers, the last day, and His decree, the good of it and the bad of it. Out of Allah's mercy, He sent His prophets to mankind in order for those prophets to be a mercy for all of creation. Allah the Most Exalted said about His Prophet Muhammad, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, We have not sent you except as a mercy to all of creation. Allah, who is perfect in every way, also said to him, You are not at the side of the mountain known as At-Tur when we issued our call to the Prophet Musa. However, you have been sent as a mercy from your Lord to warn a people to whom no warner had come prior to you, in order that they would receive admonition. Allah described His Prophet by saying, He accepts the revelation that comes to him from Allah, he believes what the people of Iman tell him, and he is a mercy to those of you who genuinely have Iman. In fact, one of the Prophet's names is the Prophet of Mercy. May Allah grant him commendation and protection. On top of that, listen to something else that Allah, the Most Merciful, told His Prophet. It was due to Allah's mercy that that you were lenient in dealing with your companions. Had you been harsh or hard-hearted, they would have most certainly dispersed from around you. Therefore, pardon their shortcomings towards you, ask Allah to forgive their sins, and consult with them about matters that require consultation. Out of Allah's mercy, He sent down scriptures containing directives that set matters right for His servants. Allah the Most Exalted told His Prophet Muhammad, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, is the fact that we sent down to you this Qur'an, which is recited to the people, not enough to prove your truthfulness to them? It certainly contains mercy and admonition for people who have iman. Allah further said, we have certainly presented this Qur'an to those who reject the truth. We have clearly explained it while having complete knowledge of all its details. We did that in order for it to be a source of guidance and mercy for people who have iman. Allah also said, mankind, there has now come to you an admonition from your Lord and a source of healing for your hearts. It is guidance and mercy for the people of iman. Say, all people should be glad to have the bounty and mercy of Allah. That is better than anything of this world they can amass for themselves. A course of mercy was tread by the foremost generations of this ummah, the companions and those who followed them. Allah described them by saying, they are merciful towards each other. You see them bowing and prostrating while they pray. They hope that Allah would bestow His bounty upon them and be pleased with them. A course of mercy was also tread by Allah's prophets and righteous worshipping servants. Allah said, and prior to the Qur'an, a scripture was sent down to the Prophet Musa as guidance and mercy. Allah also said that Al-Khadr was someone whom we, Allah, had granted mercy from ourselves and whom we had taught much knowledge from ourselves. Mercy is to be maintained between the people of iman until the final hour. Allah the Most Exalted said about His righteous servants that they are to also be among the people who have iman, who counsel each other to patiently persevere, and who counsel each other to be merciful. They are the ones who will receive the records of their deeds in their right hands and will be taken to the right and led to Jannah. The scholars of Islam are to be merciful to those who seek knowledge from them. Allah the Most Exalted said, Messenger of Allah, when those who accept our evidences come to you, inquiring about repentance from their prior sins, honor them by telling them, Salamun alaykum, may Allah grant you His protection. Out of your Lord's grace to all of you, He decreed mercy for Himself. Thus, if anyone among you commits a sin out of his own ignorance, but repents afterwards and strives to consistently perform righteous deeds, Allah would pardon that person, since He is certainly most forgiving, bestower of mercy. All of the people of iman are to be merciful towards each other. A hadith states that the similitude of the mutual love, mercy, and sympathy that are to exist between the people of iman is that of one single body. When one part suffers, the entire body experiences sleeplessness and fever. Mercy is to be extended to all. The Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, you must be merciful to those throughout the earth. When you do so, the one above the heavens will be merciful to you. He also said, those who show mercy will be granted mercy by Allah, the Most Merciful. Out of Allah's favor, He made mercy the foundation of interpersonal relationships. There is mercy that exists between parents and children, mercy that exists between spouses, and mercy that exists between relatives. Allah said about the treatment to be extended to parents, remain humble out of mercy towards both of your parents, and say, my Lord, have mercy upon them both as they patiently bore raising me while I was still a mere infant. Allah said about the relationship between spouses, among Allah's evidences is that He created for you spouses from among your own kind, so that your souls may find tranquility with them, and He placed love and mercy between you. That contains clear evidences for a people who contemplate. In addition, a man once asked Allah's Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, you kiss your children? We do not kiss ours. Allah's Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, replied, what is there that I can do if Allah has removed mercy from your heart? Mercy even extends to dealing with animals and the environment around us. An adulteress among the people prior to Islam was admitted to Jannah because she had been merciful to a thirsty dog by giving it water to drink. And a man was admitted to Jannah because he showed mercy to the people of Islam by removing a tree branch from their pathway so that no one would be harmed. With all of that being said, it can be understood that mercy must be a foundation in all interpersonal dealings. The Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, Allah has 100 parts of mercy. He sent one part of that mercy down among jinns, humans, animals, and the small creatures that crawl about. Due to that one part of mercy, care for each other exists among them. They are merciful to each other, and wild animals are compassionate towards their young. Allah kept 99 parts of mercy with himself, and he will grant that to his obedient servants on the day of resurrection. People being merciful to each other yields many remarkable and praiseworthy results. Those include having love for others, spreading tolerance, fostering harmony, and encouraging cooperation. There are numerous realms in our modern world where mercy should be practiced and promoted, such as in passing laws and legislations, and following best practices related to technologies and social media. Yet another realm and manifestation of mercy is something we witness here in these sacred sites. Security personnel and workers in various other fields direct those who have come for Hajj and assist them in fulfilling their acts of worship. This is especially the case as it relates to the elderly, disabled, and even young children. These measures are in place as a result of decrees issued by this nation's leadership. They are part of enormous efforts which the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's government puts at the service of the two holy mosques, in order to ensure that all necessary amenities are provided to the worshippers who come to perform Hajj and Umrah. Other endeavors for which we are also grateful include the expansions underway at the two holy mosques, the preparation of the sacred sites where Hajj is performed, and putting all necessary infrastructure in place. The kings of this nation have continually devoted outstanding care to the two holy mosques, as well as all of the worshippers who come for Hajj and Umrah. That has extended from the era of the righteous King Abdulaziz, may Allah grant him mercy, forgiveness, and immense reward, and continued throughout the eras of his faithful sons, Saud, Faisal, Khalid, Fahd, and Abdullah. May Allah grant all of them the highest of ranks. Now, in the current era, we witness projects underway in these noble locations which bring happiness to the soul of every person who has Iman. O Allah, ever-living, self-sufficient sustainer of all, owner of all majesty and favor, we beseech you to grant your guidance and direction to the custodian of the two holy mosques, King Salman ibn Abdulaziz. O Allah, grant him support and assistance in doing all that is good. O Allah, grant him the best of rewards for the kindness he extends, and make him a means to guidance, goodness, and mercy. O Allah, we further implore you to grant your blessings to his deputy, Crown Prince Muhammad ibn Salman. We implore you to grant him the best of rewards, make him a means to goodness and mercy for our entire Ummah, and direct him to all that you love and are pleased with. Dear Muslims, it is only out of Allah's grace and mercy that people's souls become purified. Allah the Most Exalted said, had it not been for the grace and mercy that Allah grants you, not a single one of you would have ever been purified of sins. However, Allah purifies whomever He wills, and Allah is all-hearer, all-knower. Allah also informed us that His Prophet Yusuf said, people's souls surely incite them to do evil, except for those whom my Lord protects by granting them His mercy. It is by Allah's mercy that He admits the people of Iman to Jannah. In an authentic hadith, Allah's Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, no individual among you will be admitted to Jannah only because of his deeds. The companions asked, Messenger of Allah, not even you? He replied, not even me, unless Allah encompasses me with mercy and grace from Himself. Thus, you must strive to do all that is correct and strive to come as close as possible to what is best. It is by Allah's mercy that various adversities and evils are averted from people. Allah said, your Lord is most forgiving, and He is the owner of mercy that encompasses all things. If He were to recompense people for their wrongdoing, He would surely hasten their punishment due to them deserving that. However, out of His mercy and forbearance, He does not punish them immediately. Allah also said, had it not been for the grace and mercy that Allah grants you in this world and in the hereafter, a severe torment would have afflicted you for what you had uttered. It is by our Lord's mercy that He protects us from the evils of our enemy, Shaitan, the outcast. Allah the Most Exalted said, had it not been for Allah granting you His favor and mercy, you would have followed Shaitan except for very few people among you. Dear people of Iman, there are various means to attaining Allah's mercy. One of those means is observing taqwa. Allah the Most Exalted said, observe taqwa regarding what is ahead of you and what is behind you. You must do that in order to attain Allah's mercy. Another means to attaining Allah's mercy is being easy to deal with during transactions. The Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, may Allah have mercy upon someone who is easy to deal with when he sells, purchases, or requests what belongs to him. Another means to attaining Allah's mercy is reading the Quran, studying it, and listening to it. A hadith states, anytime a group of people gather in one of Allah's houses to read the book of Allah and study it among themselves, the angels surround them, mercy encompasses them, tranquility descends upon them, and Allah mentions them to those with Him. In addition, Allah the Most Exalted said, when the Quran is read, you must listen to it attentively so that you may comprehend it and thus attain Allah's mercy. Allah also said, this scripture, the Quran, that we have now sent down, is one that contains innumerable blessings. Therefore, you must follow its directives and observe taqwa so that you would attain Allah's mercy. Allah the Most Exalted further said, is someone who constantly obeys his Lord, spends his night prostrating and standing before him, fears punishment in the hereafter, and hopes for his Lord's mercy, equal to someone who does not do any of that? Say, are people who have knowledge equal to those who do not? The only ones who take heed are those of sound intellect. Another means to attaining Allah's mercy is being kind to others. Allah the Most Exalted said, Allah's mercy is indeed near to those who worship Him in the best way and deal with His servants in the best manner. Allah also said, we bestow our mercy upon whomever we will, and we would not let any reward be lost in the case of those who strive to worship us in the best way and deal with our servants in the best manner. Another means to attaining Allah's mercy is striving for reconciliation between disputing sides. Allah the Most Exalted said, the people of Iman are to be nothing less than brothers to one another. Therefore, rectify matters between your two brothers and observe taqwa of Allah so that you would attain mercy. Another means to attaining Allah's mercy is obeying Allah and His Messenger. Allah said, obey Allah and the Messenger so that you would attain mercy. Another means to attaining Allah's mercy is perseverance. Allah said, convey glad tidings to those who patiently persevere. They are the people who, when afflicted with adversity, say, we most certainly all belong to Allah, and we will most certainly all return to Him. They are the ones whom their Lord will commend and grant mercy, and they are the ones who are soundly guided. Other means to attaining Allah's mercy can be found in His statement, the people of Iman, men and women alike, are to support each other. They are to command what is right, forbid what is wrong, establish obligatory prayers, give obligatory charity, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Those are the people whom Allah will grant His mercy. Further means to attaining Allah's mercy can be found in His statement, ask for My mercy and encompasses all things in this world. However, I will record My mercy in the hereafter for those who observe taqwa and give obligatory charity, and those who accept our evidences and submit to them, those who follow the Messenger, the unlettered Prophet, whose description people of scriptures prior to him find written in the Torah and the Injil, which they already have with them. That Messenger instructs them to do what is correct, forbids them from doing wrong, permits wholesome things for them, prohibits them from all that is detestable, and relieves them of prior injunctions they had to comply with but found difficult to bear. Another means to attaining mercy from the Lord of all creation is asking His forgiveness often. Allah the Most Exalted said, will you not seek forgiveness from Allah so that you would attain His mercy? Dear Muslims, no matter how many your sins are, you must not despair of Allah's mercy. The door to repentance is always open. Allah said, say, My servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of Allah's mercy. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. He is truly the most forgiving, the bestower of mercy. Allah also said, none despairs of His Lord's mercy besides those who are astray. Also among the means to attaining Allah's mercy is beseeching Allah to grant His mercy. This was done by the Prophet Musa when he said, and I implore you to envelop us with your mercy, since you are more merciful than anyone who could ever show mercy. It was done by the Prophet Sulaiman when he said, and I implore you by your mercy to place me among your righteous worshipping servants. It is done by the angels, as Allah informed us that they say, our Lord, you encompass all things with your mercy and knowledge. So forgive those who repent and follow your path, and save them from the torment of the blazing fire. Our Lord, admit them to everlasting gardens and Jannah, which you have promised them, as well as the righteous among their ancestors, their spouses, and their descendants. You are truly the Almighty, the Most Wise. And save them from punishment for the sins they committed. If you save someone on the day of recompense from being punished for sins, you would certainly grant him your mercy. And that is a supreme success. It was also done by our two parents, Adam and his spouse. The two of them supplicated, "Our Lord, we have indeed wronged ourselves, and if you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, we will certainly be among those who lose everything." It was done by the young men who resorted to a cave when they said, "Our Lord, we implore you to grant us mercy from yourself and facilitate the path to guidance for us in all matters." In addition, Allah told us, "There was indeed a group of my servants who used to say, 'Our Lord, we believe in the truth and comply with it, so forgive us and have mercy upon us. You are the best of all who show mercy.'" Allah also informed us that those firmly grounded in knowledge supplicate by saying, "Our Lord, we beseech you to not allow our hearts to go astray after you have guided us. We further beseech you to grant us mercy from yourself. Indeed, you alone are the bestower." Dear Hajjaj, who have come to Allah's sacred house, you are now at a very noble and sacred site. It is a place where prayers are answered and mercy descends. Allah's Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, said, "There is no day on which Allah frees more servants from the hellfire than the day of Arafah. He certainly draws near and then boasts to the angels about them." This was collected by Muslim. Out of mercy to the people of Islam, the Prophet, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, did not fast the day of Arafah when he performed Hajj, so that his followers would emulate his example and have the strength to remain engaged in supplicating Allah and mentioning him. Therefore, you must ensure that Allah sees from you what is praiseworthy. Supplicate Allah much to grant mercy and goodness to you, your loved ones, and those who have rights you must fulfill. Implore Allah to rectify the conditions of all Muslims in general and to grant them his care. Dear Hajjaj, another manifestation of mercy is that Allah's chosen messenger, may Allah grant him commendation or protection, provided a practical explanation of how Hajj is to be performed. He delivered a sermon in Arafah. Afterwards, the Adhan was called, the Iqama was called, and he prayed Dhuhr shortened to 2 rak'ah. Another Iqama was called, and he prayed Asr shortened to 2 rak'ah. After that, he remained in Arafah while mounted on his camel, and he continued to invoke Allah and mention him. When the sun had set completely, he proceeded to Muzdalifah, and he said, "People, you must remain tranquil. Righteousness does not lie in haste." He gave that instruction so that the Hajjaj will be merciful to each other. After reaching Muzdalifah, the Adhan was called, the Iqama was called, and he prayed Maghrib as 3 rak'ah. Then another Iqama was called, and he prayed Isha shortened to 2 rak'ah. He spent the night in Muzdalifah, prayed Fajr at the beginning of its time at the break of dawn, and supplicated to Allah until the sky became bright. He then departed to Mina, where he stoned the 3rd Jamrah after sunrise, and he did that with 7 pebbles. He also offered his sacrifice and had his head shaved. Afterwards, he performed Tawaf al-Ifada. He subsequently remained in Mina for the days of Tashriq, throughout which he mentioned Allah and stoned each of the 3 Jamrat after midday. He supplicated after stoning the 1st and 2nd Jamrat. Regarding those who had legitimate excuses, he granted them the concession to not spend those nights in Mina. The sunnah of Allah's Messenger, may Allah grant him commendation and protection, is to remain in Mina until the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, since that is more virtuous, but he did permit departing on the 12th. When he completed the rites of Hajj, he performed Tawaf at the Kaaba before traveling. O Allah, we implore you to grant your mercy to all who have come for Hajj. We implore you to accept their Hajj, facilitate matters for them, and protect them from anyone who intends ill towards them. O Allah, we implore you to allow them to return to their homelands after Hajj safely, rewarded by you, forgiven by you, and having fulfilled their needs. O Allah, grant your mercy to the people of Islam and Iman, men and women alike. Keep them united, set their hearts right, grant them your care, and enable them to be merciful to each other. O Allah, rectify the conditions of all who submit to you in Islam. Rectify matters between them and grant them ample provisions. O Allah, cure their ailing, pardon their sinful, forgive their deceased, enrich their impoverished, and settle the debts of those among them who are in debt. O Allah, make their lands ones of goodness, growth, development, and prosperity. Our Lord is perfect in every way and exalted above all the falsehood ascribed to him. He grants protection to all of his messengers, and all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all creation.